Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Video Store Memoirs. I'm your humble host, Kevin Salina. With me, as always, is the beautiful, the intelligent, the slightly freaked out, Janice Schumacher. Say hello.
I'm going to go beyond slightly. A little more than slightly freaked out, but we'll get into that in a minute. Hello. Welcome. We're glad to have you. We're going to try and talk about this fucking movie.
As we have just finished watching an epic movie. Everyone knows about it. Everyone's at least heard about it in some way, shape, or form. And keeping with our tradition of doubling up on things, this covers both Black History Month and the Oscar nomination type area. We are going to be talking about Get Out. Jordan Peele's initial directorial debut into the horror genre. Or I would call this suspense thriller.
Psychological thriller.
This, whatever way you want to put it.
Because I'm still psychologically fucked up.
Well, since you're already in that zone, tell the nice people what we're going to be talking about.
Okay, shake myself out of this for a moment to get podcasty seriously. This is a 2017 rated R film, as Kevin mentioned, by Jordan Peele. His directorial debut, he also wrote it. It's IMDb says, a young African-American visits his white girlfriend's parents for the weekend, where his simmering uneasiness about their reception of him eventually reaches a boiling point.
That is the understatement of all statements.
Yeah. Yeah, no. No, that's... They were doing so well recently with their movie descriptions of the things that we've been...
Agreed. Watching. They've been pretty spot on with their synopsis of films, but with a movie like this, I can understand them doing a take like this because...
They don't want to be too spoilery.
They don't want to spoil anything, and the movie speaks for itself when you watch it. I have not seen a... Hang on to your hats, kids, earmuffs, if you've ever seen that movie. I've never seen such a mindfuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I didn't know where they were going with this until right towards the end. Like, I didn't have it all figured out until the main character figured it out. And it was a huge-ass twist. I mean, I knew something was fucked up and something was going on, but what exactly was going on? No. That was crazy. But let's...
Yeah, oh, full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen. Both myself and Jana just watched this for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. We watched it with our spouses, who most of you know are also involved in the podcast. My husband is our editor, and Kevin's wife is our producer, who puts together our schedule and helps pick most of our movies. And this was... something she put on the list. She had seen it. She was the only one of the four of us who had seen it.
So we just followed her lead, sat down, and watched the movie. I am going to be... This movie's going to stick with me for a little bit because this is quite the mind bender.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with the term mindfuck. Before we get too much more into our reactions to the movie and kind of what the fuck went down, I want to give a brief shout out to the cast, because this was a phenomenal cast. So the leading male character, Chris Washington, played by Daniel Kaluuya, he was amazing, brilliant.
Who was also nominated for an Oscar for this movie.
Yes, he was nominated for leading male. And then his girlfriend, the other main character, Rose Armitage, played by Allison Williams, she did amazing in the fucking switch up.
Yeah.
Like, I did not see her twist coming.
Yeah, she definitely, when it got to the point, you're like, oh no. Oh no, 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 no. And then your fears were confirmed. She did an excellent job with her role.
So then the parents, oh my God. So big names here. Bradley Whitford as Dean Armitage and Catherine Keener as Missy Armitage.
I have always been a fan of Catherine Keener since the first time. I believe the first movie I ever saw her in was the movie Primary Colors. And ever since then, I adore her craft. She's really good in every role I see her in. Dear God, she terrified me.
Yeah. Yeah, this was subtle creepy. And Bradley Whitford, like, I've seen him in so many. I didn't even recognize it was him in the previews. When I saw the previews for this movie, and then when it was starting and I saw the cast going across and it said Bradley Whitford, and I looked at him, I was like, Bradley Whitford's in this? And he's like, yeah. And then when he first came on the scene, I was like, that's fucking Bradley Whitford? Like, I heard the voice and I knew it.
Right
away. But he doesn't look like what I'm used to seeing him in all the movies.
Not to mention the fact that the majority of the stuff I've known for him, it's been mostly comedy.
Mostly comedy, yeah.
And...
or light comedy into drama, like heartfelt shit.
Yeah, and... somebody did their homework because I didn't recognize him in this at all.
Yeah, no. And he was amazing. Her brother, Jeremy Armitage, played by Caleb Landry Jones, don't know him from anything else.
But I've seen him in a couple things. My memory's failing me right now, but he has had a couple of roles where he is known as the creepy guy.
I was gonna say, he nailed creepy really fucking well. Yeah. And then my favorite character and role in this movie, Chris's best friend, Rod Williams, played by Lil Rel Howery.
He was great.
He was the comic relief in this movie, which it desperately needed in some points.
Like, there was... this movie, the tension in it is so mind-wrapping that when he shows up on the screen, it gives you that little breath of oxygen, you know, that you need before you dive back into the what the hell is going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I sat there watching this movie, and I know everyone has talked about this movie, and I was like, all right, I need to watch this at some point. Everyone raved about Jordan Peele's flip from writing extremely funny comedy into going into the suspense horror drama type movies. And I was like, okay, he's done three movies so far, and he's helped produce on a couple other ones. Gotta finally see what is going on. This man's a genius.
Yeah.
This man is Alfred Hitchcock reincarnate.
And I had heard of the movie, but never really had paid attention, like, enough to know what it was about. I had no fucking clue what I was getting into. Even, honestly, after I saw the preview, the trailer, I still wasn't 100% certain what it was about, what was going on. All right, full spoiler alert, getting into this, like, it opens up on just the very first scene opens up with random black guy walking down a street in a suburb, lost, and he's talking on the phone to his friend. He's like, oh, I don't know, I'm looking for something, they have me in this weird place, and, like, he's like, okay, he's walking around, car pulls up, going past him the other way, slows down, turns around, and starts following him, and he's like, nope. That's fucked up. And, like, keeps walking, and the car keeps moving. He's like, nope, okay, I'm out of here. Like, this, I'm going to go the other way. Turns around, starts walking away. Next thing you know, he's being attacked, thrown in a trunk.
At first, when I saw the car pull a U-turn on him, I was like, oh, this is going to be one of those police scenes, you know, right, where, like, black guy in a suburban neighborhood, excuse me, brother, you don't belong here. Can I see your ID?
Not even a cop, just a local bum, drunk, dumbass. Hey, brother, what you doing here? You don't belong here type of thing.
Yeah, and it definitely went the route that I was not expecting right out the gate.
Yeah, no, he got attacked and thrown in a trunk. And then we jump to, like, a completely different scene. And you find out it's the girlfriend, Rose, is going over Chris's house. They're getting ready to leave for the weekend to go to his parents' house. And she's like, oh, they're great. They're going to love you. And he's like, got a little bit worried. Have you told them I'm black? And she's like, why would I need to tell them you're black? Like, she's trying to reassure them how fine it is. Makes a joke about his dad's, her dad says could've he would have voted for Barack a third time.
The third time if he could have.
Yeah. And she's like, and he'll probably tell you about it. It'll be boring as fuck. Like, it's this great sub. Like, okay, just taking, you know, the boyfriend to go meet the parents for the first time. And, you know, they seem to have a really good relationship. She seems really nice. And she's kind of, you know, down to earth. And, you know, his best friend calls him while they're on the drive. And, like, she's got a rapport banter with the best friend, too. Like, joking. He's like, you know, you picked the wrong one. She's like, oh, so you're saying there's still a chance? And, like, joking around, you know?
Right.
Kind of oddly on the trip, and I don't know if this was planned or just it happened and it just fit into the story, but a deer jumps out in front of them and they crash the car into it, and it like spooks them both. And then the cop that comes up tries to check his license, and she says, like, he wasn't even driving. He's like, I have an ID. And she's like, why do you need, and, like, she stands up for him, is like pushing against the cop, like, he's like, it's just protocol, we have to ask. She's like, no, you don't. Like,
yeah. It was like, basically, all right, I know what you're getting at. Like, you're going to knock this off right now.
Right. So they find, they get back in the car, and he's like, oh, that was hot, thanks. Like, protect him. She's like, protect what's mine, you know? And you're just still, you're thinking, like, they're a really cute couple, easygoing. They get to the parents' house, and that's when things start to get
weird.
Weird.
For a better part of a word. Or, sorry, lack of a better word, because I don't know what you would call some of the interactions that you Chris has dealing with both parents and the two people who work the house.
The first thing that's odd right off is, like, they're making this whole big the daughter's making this whole big thing, like, my parents aren't racist, they're cool, we get along with everybody, it's cool. And then they pull up to this big ass mansion in the middle of nowhere in the suburbs, and
let's be honest here. It looks like a New Hampshire plantation. I'm just gonna go there.
And they have a black man working in the yard.
And a black woman who comes out of
the kitchen.
Out of the kitchen, and who's tending to things around the house.
They have black help.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the dad, like, pulls him aside. He's like, I know this seems awkward, and, you know, I swear it's not what it looks like. And he explains that they hired them to help take care of his parents when they weren't well. And then when his parents passed away, they couldn't stand letting them go, so they kept them on. But, like, okay, that all on the surface seems great, except for every interaction that Chris has with these two is fucking weird. And they don't act like normal people. And it's not like you're thinking, like, part of it, I can see it's leading you to want you to think they don't act like normal black people. It's not even normal black
people.
They just
don't act normal.
They don't act like normal people at all. Hired help or not, the way they interact with people, it's very robotic and stilted, and, like,
it just gives you the sense of pause that this something is not right. The first couple scenes here and there, you're just like, that ain't normal.
Right.
Like, you hear these jokes all the time. If you're a black person in a movie with this situation coming up, I'd have been out of there. I was like, you know something? I forgot my phone charger. Oh, it's in the car. No. That's the bad one. I need to go home and get the good charger.
Yeah. Okay, we already know, like, something's weird. And, like, he tries a little bit to bring some things up to the girlfriend, and she plays most of it off. And, like, oh, I can talk to dad if you think something's weird. And he's like, no, it's cool. It's not important. And they find out that this weekend also happens to be this big party that the grandfather used to throw every year. And the girl, like, Rose plays it off. Like, what? That's this weekend? Like, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, the mom is like,
you know this.
It's the same day every year. And she's like, is it? No, it's not. Yes, it is. Like, oh. Like, so she's totally, like, thrown off, playing off. Like, she doesn't know that this party is happening. Apologizing to him. I'm so sorry. This is going to be boring. They're the whitest white people in the world. It's going to suck. And that's what it is. A bunch of old white people. But before that, so you find out the mom is a psychiatrist who, like, is big into hypnosis. And the dad is a neuroscientist. a doctor, okay? So she offers to hypnotize him to get him to stop smoking because he's a smoker, and they're like, oh, it's horrible. And he's like, I'm trying to quit. And she's like, the dad, Dean, is like, oh, she did it for me. And he's like, I used to smoke all the time. I loved every puff I took. And then she hypnotized me. And now, like, I even think about a cigarette and I want to vomit. Like, yeah. I don't do it anymore. He's like, you should think about it. He's like, nah, I'm cool. And even the daughter's like, yo, chill. Like, some people don't like strangers randomly playing around in their head. Like,
right.
It's weird. Okay.
Yeah, and like we're gonna stop right there. Well, I'm gonna say one more thing, and then I want to get into a full blown discussion about something I saw in this movie. So the party starts. Everything's, you know, Chris is being shown around, and everybody's like, "Oh, nice to meet you." Blah blah blah, and asking the most random questions, personal questions,
inappropriate
like
questions.
One woman asks, "Like, so is it true what it's like being with a black man?" I'm like, "Whoa, stop, right now!" And other people like just walking up and feeling his muscles. You know, it's like, "You want to get your hands off me?" And it's just the most uncomfortable situation you can probably find yourself in. But I'm going to stop there, and I wanted to once that scene happened, and everything that happened that followed, I could not look away, because I had an inkling of where this movie may be going, but there was no way to prepare myself for where it actually went.
Yeah. So, here's the thing. So, he does end up running into the mom in the middle of the night, and she sits him down, and because he went out to go and try and take a smoke, and he comes back in because he sees Georgina, the help, doing weird stuff, and it freaks him out. He goes back in the house. I'm like, fucking mom sitting in the dark in the room, turns on the light. Like, you know, smoking's bad for you. Like, mm-hmm. Sits him down, and without really asking him to hypnotize him, asks him what he's like. The next thing you know, she's talking to him this way and stirring her little fucking teacup with her spoon, and she fucking hypnotizes him. And he, without his permission, he doesn't really know what's going on. She talks him into it and lulls him into it. He wakes up the next morning and is in the bed. He doesn't remember much of what happened the night before, but you know he's been hypnotized, okay? At some point, he calls his friend to tell him about it. And yeah. He's telling him about how things are weird here, and the mom is a hypnotist, and I think she hypnotized me, da da da. And it's the friend that first jokes about it and says, like, what if they're hypnotizing black people to, like, be sex slaves? Like,
yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, you know, that's the beginning of it. Like, if you think things are weird and people are acting strange, like, you know, they could be doing weird things, right? And he's like, whatever, you're stupid. But Rod Williams, again, played by Lil Rel, works in TSA. He's in security, so he's got some sort of training, you know? And
to look out for certain things that just seem out of place.
So he already thought things was weird and was throwing this shit out there about the whenever somebody is a hypnotist coming into, and he's like, people are acting weird. What if she hypnotized these people to think that they were something else? He's like joking around. He's like, I bet they're all hypnotized to think they want to be there. And so that gets you to start thinking, like, maybe that is what's going on here. Yeah. And then something weird happens. When he's at the party, he runs into another black guy there.
Who's not help, who's not Georgina or the person taking care of the landscape right. of the building.
And he goes to introduce himself and say, hey, nothing like seeing another brother here helps make me feel a little relaxed. And the guy turns around and it's the fucking guy from the beginning of the movie.
The one who got dumped into a trunk.
The one that got attacked and dumped. But he introduces himself as Logan, and he's acting like, for all intents and purposes, an old white guy. He's dressed like an old white guy. He's talking like an old white guy.
Forgive my intrusion. I didn't mean to startle you, sir. I was like, okay, that was a little too much Southern Belle for my taking.
And then this old white woman comes up and is hanging all over him like she's with him. And, like, they're together. And he's like, okay, that's weird. So whatever, conversation moves on. They back off. He goes upstairs to do something. He comes back outside and, like, all these people are all stopping him and asking him questions again. And, like, he dad introduces him to, like, 8 people all at the same time. He's like, that's a lot of names mm-hmm. to remember, but, hey. And, like, this Asian guy that's there asks him, like,
what is your, how do you feel about the black experience in the,
being an African American
in this world,
in this country at this time, like, what's your take on the experience? And he's like, like, you can tell, like, I don't, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't want to answer this. And the other guy, now going by Logan, walks by and he calls out to me. He's like, hey, they just asked me a question. Maybe you can help
shed some perspective on your thoughts.
Yeah. And the guy's answer is all like, I don't know, it's been all good for me, but I don't really get out a lot, da da da. This whole time he's talking, you could see, like, Chris thinks something's weird, and, like, you feel like he kind of thinks he knows this guy and he's not sure. So he's got his phone out and he tries to slyly take a picture of the guy.
Yeah.
But the flash is on and it flashes. And when it flashes, the guy, like, stops talking, like, freezes. There's blood starts coming out of his nose. And all of a sudden he's attacking him, jumping on him, saying, get out, like, screaming, get out. And everybody's trying to pull him back. And, like, everybody's freaking out, like, what's going on? It's, like, all weird. And, like, so then everybody's breaking up and calming down. And when they come back, they're like, oh, they try to explain, like, oh, he had a seizure. When the light, the phone, the flash on your phone, it made him have a seizure. And, like, it can cause people to act violent and stuff like that. And dude was, like, telling the girlfriend, like,
my cousin is an epileptic.
Like, that was not a seizure. Like, that was not a seizure. She's like, my dad's a neurosurgeon. If he says it was a seizure, I'm going to believe him, da, da, da. And then, like, he's trying to tell her, too. He's like, it's weird. Like,
yeah,
I think I recognize that guy. And she's like, you know him? She's like, well, no, I don't know him. But when he was screaming at me and telling me to get out, like, I felt like I knew him. He looked familiar. So he sneaks away and he goes and calls his friend and he sends him the picture. And dude's like, oh yeah, that's Dre. And he's like, what? And he's like, you know, Andre, da da da, we used to hang out. He dated so and so. He's like, I knew him.
Right.
And he's like, but it wasn't him. Like, he looked weird. He's acting weird. And then, like, of course he's coming back in with the hypnotizing, like, turning them into being something else. And, like,
and the other part is, he's like, here's the crazy thing about this, you know, apparently he's been missing for 6 months.
Yeah.
And I will interject this one part. The moment he said, I know I have a cousin who's an epileptic, that's not a seizure. And she's like, well, my dad's a doctor. If he says it's this, that's the moment I was like, all right, I don't trust this bitch.
I see. Up until at this point, I still thought she was just stupid and oblivious.
No, nobody. This is what for me. Like, a lot of times when I watch movies, and I always watch for the life experience and suspension of disbelief. I have friends whose parents are doctors, so they in some cases they have some of the knowledge because they've lived around the knowledge. Mm-hmm. For her to have a father who is neuroscientist, works with the brain, the ins and outs, and you tell me she doesn't know the difference between an epileptic seizure and just somebody having a full blown attack or like he was. Outburst, that red flag to me like nobody's business.
Right. I get your point, but one, you're way more suspicious of people and things than I am. And two, there is the other side of that, of the kids who don't fucking care what their parents do and try to have as little to do with it as possible and don't pay attention to them when they start talking about their job and could know nothing about medical science whatsoever.
Yeah, they're like, I will give you that, but that's where my brain went. I was like, wait a minute, no.
Yeah.
Something's not stirring this right.
So dude's getting highly suspicious now. He's seeing more and more things, freaking out. And, like, when he goes upstairs into the house and there's a whole bunch of people, this party's still going on, people milling about everywhere. He goes up into the house, into his bedroom, for a little mini freak out, And everybody on the ground floor stops. It's like time freezes. And they all stop and are silent and, like, listening to try and figure out what he's doing. And, like, some of them almost look frozen.
I mean, as a person who's dealt with some awkward racial situations, that was, to me, the reverse of everything's going on fine in the diner and then the black guy walks in and everything stops. It was totally over. Everything was going along fine and then the black guy's gone out of vision, so wait a minute, we don't know what he's doing right now. Everybody shut up so maybe we can hear what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's freaking out to the girlfriend. He's trying to tell her, like, I need to get out of here. And she's like, let's go for a walk. And, like, the other people in the party are like, we need to lighten the mood. We're going to do something. Let's play bingo or something. And she's like, no, we're going to go for a walk. And they go walk away. And he's talking and freaking out about everything. And she's trying to convince him. He says, we need to leave. And she's like, okay,
let's go.
We can go. Don't, I won't leave you here. This whole time they're off by the lake talking. There's this weird ass freaky shit going on outside. Everybody is set up in all these seats in front of a gazebo. Almost looks like a wedding.
Yeah.
Is set up. But all the people at the party are all sitting there. The dad is up front at the gazebo. And no one's talking. It's all silent.
It's all sign language.
Yeah. And there's a picture of fucking Chris on the gazebo. And everybody's holding up, he's holding up numbers and stuff. And then people hold up bingo cards and he's pointing. So basically, there's a fucking silent auction going on for people to buy Chris. This is the first time I figure out, and it's known to, like, this party is specifically for him. They are there to feel him out and to fucking buy him.
And, like you said, literally silent auction because they don't know how far he's gone out on a walk. And they want to be able to hear if anybody's coming back. So the father is using every form of sign language to give out dollar signs. Do I hear 10,000? Do I hear 15,000? And people just holding up their bingo cards to confirm that they want to bid.
Yeah.
And the auction ends and everyone leaves.
They come back from their walk.
And they come back from their walk.
And it looks fucking creepy. The parents are all being creepy. They've already decided they're leaving. So they're like, let's go upstairs and pack. Point out in the very beginning of the movie, at some point in the beginning of the movie, Chris and Rose are talking, and he's talking about when he asked her about his parents and if she knew that he was black, and he's like, why, what? And she's all like, why would I need to tell him that? Like, what does it matter? And he's like, you said I'm the first black guy you've ever dated, right? She's like, yeah. He's like, you don't think that is something you want to bring up in conversation?
Just, you know, give a heads up.
Yeah.
I'm going to get personal here. Okay. As a person of color who ended up marrying a white woman, I had my concerns too of, I'm the first person outside the race of my wife's family. So this is a legit conversation that does happen between a people of mixed race couples. Like, are your parents okay? Do I need to be concerned about something? Are you sure it's going to be all right? You know, what? It may not always get said, but it definitely goes through your head like, okay, uncharted territory, let's focus here.
Yeah. So there's a comment made that this is her first time dating a black man, okay?
Correct.
All right, they're in the room, packing, getting ready to go. She's in her bag. He's like, we need to leave. We need to get out of here. She's like, fine, let me go get my bag. He sees a door open, like a cubby door open in her room that he didn't notice before.
Right.
He goes and looks in there. I'm like, first of all, I'm like, don't fucking go in that room. What are you doing? But he doesn't listen to me. He goes and opens the door, and there's a little box sitting on the floor, and he opens it and starts looking through it, and it's pictures of Rose. At first, it's just a couple pictures of Rose when she was a younger girl.
And also, it's a couple of pictures that were stuff that they discussed at dinner about her when she was younger. Right. So it's like, oh my God, this is the picture that, this is what they were talking about.
Right, so like family pictures, young kids. But then as he keeps going, you start to see pictures of Rose with other boyfriends. That mm-hmm. all happened to be black.
No, there isn't happen to be black. They were all black.
And as it's going through them, first of all, first it starts out, it's not anybody we recognize. And as he gets through it, the last two, one of them is her with the guy that's the help at the house. And then the very last one, she's with a woman, and it's fucking Georgina, the woman that's the help at the house.
Yes. And I started creeping back in my chair like, oh no. Oh no, she's the hoarder.
Right. So here's the first thought. Oh, sorry, not
the hoarder's the incorrect term. She's the gatherer.
She's the gatherer. She's the fetcher. I had two thoughts for this. Kevin jumped immediately to my second thought. I had a first thought first. Because again, I try not to be the one that jumps to all of the negative conclusions first and suspicions. And she seemed kind of like, and this is where I say, this actress, she played innocent very well.
She sold me on that.
Because my first inkling and thought was, this bitch is a victim as well. Her mom has hypnotized her and she's been dating black men and apparently women for many years, bringing them home, and then her parents are doing something with these people and hypnotizing her to forget them. Like, that's where my brain went at first. And then you were like, nah, she's in on it. She's bringing them. And I was like, that could be it, but like, I still feel like she don't know what's going on. Until they're trying to leave, and then he's like, get the keys, let's go. And I could very easily see that she was slowly fumbling, finding the keys. Like, I've lost my keys in my purse, in my bag before. Nobody loses them for that fucking long.
No. And if things were that bad and you were that scared in the moment, you find a way to, I don't know, dump out your purse.
Right, I'm dumping all that shit out, finding my keys. And leaving what I don't fucking need. So as they're running, and he's like, look while we walk, and we're running down the stairs, and you get downstairs, and her whole family is creepily again standing around. Her brother's
coming out of every woodwork.
Her brother's got a fucking lacrosse stick in his hand. The mom is standing on one side. The dad's in front of the fireplace. They're all being creepy as fuck, and he's like, they're trying to leave, and she's like looking for the keys, and he's like, come on, and she's acting all frantic, but like fumbling, and you could tell she's not really fucking looking. And I was like, ah, here we go. And he's talking to the parents, and everybody's being all creepy, and he's like, come on, where's the keys? Get the keys. And suddenly she holds up her hand with the keys in her hand, and she's like, come on, you know I can't give you the keys. And I was like, ah, fuck!
Yeah. When she had that moment of, yeah, I'm in on it.
Oh, God damn it.
And I was like, I knew this. I swear to God. Like, and the shit just hits the fan. Literally.
He tries to fight back and escape, but fucking the mom's already hypnotized him once. She fucking clinks her little teacup and...
three times.
Fuck, down he goes.
And he, like Muhammad Ali, punched the shit out of him. He goes down without a fight. I was like, I'm never going to a hypnotist in Vegas ever again.
Yeah.
Because this has totally ruined those kind of fun situations for me. I was like, this shit is... exactly why people are like, I'm never going to a hypnotist. Right here.
So at this point, you still don't know really what the fuck is happening with the people.
At this point, here's where my mind went. I thought, okay, this confirms it. This mother, the daughter brings these people in. The mother hypnotizes them. And... brainwashes them, and these people end up with different lives for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I did not see what was coming.
There was no understandable end game. Like, we could not figure out, like, what was the point to this? Like, to be help? Because not all of them were help, but, like, no. There was the mention of, like, Lil Rel's character mentioned the whole sex slave thing, and you see the one guy with the older woman,
and you, immediately I'm like, oh, okay, he may be right.
But you don't know really what the end game is, but you know hypnosis is involved.
Yes.
To an extent. It's not until the poor bastard is tied to a chair in the basement and wakes up and the TV in front of him that you start to get an explanation of what's going on. First of all, there's a creepy old movie that's played for him that is like the original, I guess it's the grandparents who originally started this project or whatever, introducing it. It had some weird name, and he's like, you've been chosen to be a part of this. That still doesn't
And
really
also
explain.
Saying, congratulations, you've right. been chosen. What?
You've shown some sort of significant trait or thing, and you've been chosen to be a part of this great thing. And, you know, you're going to be a part of our family and da-da-da. Like, and you're like, still, it doesn't really explain what's going on. And you could tell this was filmed in, like, the late 70s, early yes. 80s.
I was going to say late 60s, 70s kind of thing.
But the kids are still kids, and they're supposed to be in their 20s. So if this is a normal time...
Yeah, so I'd say, you're right. Probably 80s would be more 80s. Accurate.
Yeah, so, again, and then this whole time in the background now... His friend Rod, Lil Rel, is freaking out. Like, he knew he was coming home. He's supposed to be home by now. He's already started doing research with the picture he sent him and realized this guy's missing and there's other people in similar situations that are missing. Poor guy tries to go to the police. But you tell this story to anybody.
They just stood there. Well, actually, he told the story to one cop. And then she's like, made it look like she was really concerned, got two more detectives, had him repeat the story so all three of them could laugh in his face.
Yeah, and she's like, don't say I never do anything for you.
Yeah, she's like, don't ever say I never hold back for you. I don't do anything for you because here, I just made your day, didn't
so,
I?
So, poor guy in the background, he's trying to help his friend. He knows something is wrong, but can't get anywhere. The police don't believe him. And he's like, I'm going to fucking do something. I've got to fix this. So then we jump back again. And poor Chris wakes up in the chair again. And then now one of the guys from the party that he met, who happens to be an art dealer, who had talked to him about his photography, because Chris is a photographer. And this guy is a blind art dealer who used to be a photographer, couldn't do it really well, lost his sight, and so went into selling art. Chris thought this was a great thing. He was meeting this guy. He knew who he was, had heard his name, and he's like, oh, you're, like, really good. And he was like, oh, well, your art's really good. My assistant details it to me, tells me the art in detail, and, like, it sounds like you have a great eye, and, like, it just, you thought it was just a cool moment where he was meeting one guy at the party who wasn't weird, who actually knew who he was.
You know, everyone else, like we had been saying, it's been odd interactions all around. And then he actually has a normal conversation where he even felt comfortable enough to sit down and talk with him.
Yeah.
You know? And you find out, he starts... First of all, you notice this guy's on the screen and he's wearing
a hospital gown.
Mm-hmm. He's been shaved bald. Mm-hmm. And he begins to tell him and let him know that because of the situation you find yourself in, I don't want you to feel bad about what's about to happen. It's all going to work out great because basically you're still going to be you, but... I'm going to be at the wheel.
You're going to be a passenger.
You're going to be a passenger. And he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he begins to explain to him that what they're going to do is they're going to remove the majority part of your brain. They can't mess with anything in the nervous system because that's the main motor function skills. It's too complicated to detach all the nerves and try and reattach all the nerves. But basically, your frontal lobes and everything will be removed. Mine will be put in this place, and I will be in control of your body from here on out.
So you'll become me.
You'll be seeing what I see. You just won't be able to control anything that has to do with you.
So he fucking bought himself a new body.
So he can be able to see again.
And one of the things he asks him when Chris is figuring all this out, he's like, why black people. And he's like, and he tells him, he's like, honestly, I don't know why they're choosing black people. For me, it has nothing to do with the color of your skin or anything. He's like, I want your eye. And he literally means, well, yes, he's blind and he wants to see again. He wants his artistic eye. He wants to be able to take the kind of photographs he takes, because when he was a photographer, his career was failed. Like, he doesn't care what color this guy is. It just happens to be he's an amazing photographer and he had a chance to take that.
Yes. I'm one to take your talent and use it for myself.
So they are taking all of these talented, in one way or another, black people. The daughter's finding them. She's befriending them, bringing them in. They sell them to some old person or diseased person who's dying or has issues and wants to continue to live on. And they're giving them a motherfucking brain transplant to turn them into that person.
Anybody else ever heard of Invasion of the Body Snatchers? At least the aliens would just, you know, go in and, you know, telepathically control you. So
that's why the guy that was missing from the beginning when he met him seemed like a different person. Because he was. They took that guy's body, they put some old white dude's brain in it, and that old white dude was named Logan, who happened to be married to the old white woman, who they were still together. And he's living his best life now as a young black man.
Yeah, he's literally living his best life.
And when he took that picture and that flash set something off, it caused what little bit of the original guy was in there to come forward and have control for a minute to tell him, to try and warn him to get the fuck out of there.
Literally, get out.
Yeah.
Over and over again, get out.
So obviously, yo, Chris ain't having this shit. Like... He keeps getting put out. He finds out, like, through this discussion with this guy, he finds out this is, like, a multi-step process. And first was the hypnosis, because that's how they control you. That's how they get you. It's the anesthesia. Like, every time he hears the teacup, that's the anesthesia. It knocks him out. So he learns from this shit. And he's been sitting in this chair and scratching at it forever, trying to escape and, you know, nerves and trying to get out and, like, pulls up cotton from the chair he's been scratching on and finally learns to, like, stuff that fucking cotton in his ear, so the next time that teacup comes on the screen to knock him out, he doesn't hear it. He sets himself up to get the fuck out of there. And thank God he does, because it wasn't a moment too late. The only reason he got out is because they had already started operating on the other dude, took his skull apart, and they were coming to get him to put him in there so they could complete the transplant.
Yeah.
And he fucking escaped. The fucking girl was in on it all along, and, like, in her bedroom, she's listening to music while all this shit's going on, searching and through pictures of other black people.
No, the part that creeped me out is they start the camera work just showing her face with her earbuds in, and she's, yeah, like you said, she's looking at the laptop, looking at different people, like, for her next victim. But as they pan out, all the pictures that Chris has found are back up on the wall like a fucking trophy collage.
Like, proud of the work she's fucking done.
And I don't want to spoil what happens to everyone in this, but we will say that Chris is lucky.
Yeah. Oh, and creepy people, the help, not the fucking help, that's fucking grandma and grandpa.
That part killed me.
The woman, the black woman who was in the kitchen and the help, and the man who was in the lawn and the outside worker, they were only pretending while he was around so it didn't look fucking weird. That was really fucking grandma and grandpa who had their own bodies replaced by two of the people their granddaughter dated and lured into their house.
So basically, grandma and grandpa were the original test subjects.
But they help come up with this process and everything, and it's their son and daughter-in-law that they help figure out to do this.
And then over the years have made it the family business.
Yeah. This movie fucked with my head so much.
When this movie was done and the credits started to roll, I haven't done this in a while, watching a movie like this, where I literally felt myself exhale. Because, shit, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
Because
you didn't realize you were fucking holding your breath for 2 hours.
And not just the 2 hours. Like I said, when most of the scenes were character Rod comes on, you exhale a little bit because they have a couple of funny moments here. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they take you back to the house, you start holding your breath again.
Yeah.
I could be Jacques Cousteau right now and do some deep sea diving because of the way I was able to hold my breath. This movie is insane, yet brilliant.
Jordan Peele is a motherfucking genius.
The man won an Oscar for writing this movie. It is so well deserved. I'm surprised this movie didn't win for Best Picture.
My favorite part of the fact that Jordan Peele won an Oscar for this movie, for writing it, is that he is the first African American to win an Oscar in this category, and this is the fucking movie he won it for. Really?
The man had been, before he got a chance to make this movie, he had spent the last 3 to 5 years just writing comedy sketch after comedy sketch with his partner, Keen Michael Key.
Yeah.
And the hilarity these two come up with was absolutely beautiful. No way in hell I expected this kind of story to come out of from a guy who was doing that much comedy the way he was.
Yeah. No.
This just gives an overall abundance to the talent this man has that he hasn't fully tapped into yet. His first movie out of the gate, I'm sorry, I haven't felt this way about a movie like this since Sixth Sense.
You gotta fucking watch this movie. That's all there is to it. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to watch it.
Five clamshells. I can speak for you on this one.
Yes, absolutely. 10 clamshells. Fucking A. Like, we don't do more than 5, but if we did, it gets more than 5.
Yes. Please. If you haven't seen it, if you're like us, who literally just finished watching it maybe 20 minutes ago, you need to watch this movie. It is psychological thriller personified in every sense of the word.
It is one of the best psychological thrillers I have seen in a long time.
To give you an idea, our editor, her husband, had to go take a walk.
To clear his head.
Because he's like, I need to go do something, throw on some music or something, and just go for a walk. The problem is, he just said he was going to go walking in a forest preserve, and that's where this movie took place. So yeah. I was like, dude, no, go walk on the regular street. Go walk past McDonald's or something.
Yeah. We didn't have the luxury of taking a walk. We had to come and fucking talk about it.
Yeah. This is our psychological get it out of our heads.
So yeah, if you haven't seen it, go see it. If you have seen it, what did you think? Did it fuck with you as much as it fucked with us? Do you feel psychologically traumatized after seeing this movie? Because I do. But yeah, we are all over social media, so come check us out. We are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, we are on TikTok, we are on Twitter, we are on YouTube. On Facebook and Instagram, we are at Video Store Memoirs. On Twitter, we are at Video Store Mem. And on TikTok and YouTube, we are just Video Store Memoirs. Look us up, give us a like, give us a follow, whatever little thing that social media bucket says you're supposed to do, do it. We want to hear from you, especially if you saw this movie.
Yes. As always, thank you to everyone who tunes into us, clicks to say, let's hear what these guys have to say. Guys on TikTok, once again, thank you all for all the comments you're leaving. On Facebook, same to you, all of you. We appreciate every single one of you, and it lets us keep doing what we're doing and makes us know you like us. So, that being said, I've been Kevin.
I'm Jana.
Enjoying the mindfuck, and we will see you next time.
Bye.